Good evening. Beginning in Judges 13, let's review very briefly. We began studying about Samson, who judged Israel 20 years during the Philistine oppression. Samson was a person focused on himself and his personal desires for women and food and revenge. While Judges 13:5 indicates he was to be a Nazarite to God from the womb, his actions demonstrate a flagrant disregard of the provisions of the Nazarite vow. It was only by faith that Samson, I think, finally accomplished some of God's will, according to Hebrews 11:32. As we looked at the 14th chapter, we saw that God was influencing the situation because God wanted to seek an occasion against the Philistines, Judges 14:4, and they were ruling over Israel at the time. Now, Samson insists on being married to a woman from Timnah. In verse 15, the Philistines severely threaten to burn the woman and her father's house unless she betrays Samson by telling them the answer to a riddle that Samson posed. As a note, the use of far is going to come back up in the 15th chapter, verse 6. Now in Judges 14, verse 16, she questions Samson's love for her. We will see another similar situation occur in the 16th chapter, verse 15. Where another woman named Delilah questioned Samson's love. So in Judges 14:17, Samson finally gives her an answer, and the Philistines use it to tell Samson the answer to the riddle that he had posed. And Samson is very angry. The chapter ends with the Spirit of the Lord coming on Samson, and Samson's anger burning very hot. He avenges, or seeks revenge, I guess, on the Philistines when he goes to Ascalon in Judges 14:19 and kills 30 men. Samson then goes to his father's house in Zorah, perhaps, I'm guessing, to allow his anger to cool. Chapter 14 closes with Samson's wife being given to a person who had been his friend, certainly past tense, when Samson found out. At a very high level, as we go into chapter 15, it can be divided perhaps into two things. Samson's revenge concerning his wife in verses 1 to 8, and his revenge concerning being given to the Philistines in verses 9 to 20. So, with a brief overview, anything you would like to add? Let's go to the 15th chapter and read the first six verses. We're in Judges 15. But after a while, in the time of wheat harvest, Samson visited his wife with a young goat and said, "I will go to my wife in her room." But her father did not let him enter. Her father said, "I really thought you hated her intensely. So I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please let her be yours instead." Samson then said to them, "This time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm." Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches and turned the foxes tail to tail and put one torch in the middle between two tails. When he had set fire to the torches, he released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines, thus burning up both shocks and the standing grain along with vineyards and groves. Then the Philistines said, "Who did this?" And they said, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he took his wife and gave her to his companion." So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Samson said to them, "Since you act like this, I will surely take revenge on you, but after that I will quit." He struck them ruthlessly with a great slaughter, and he went down and lived in the cleft of the rock of Edom. As we first look at these first three verses in this reading, apparently believing he's married, Samson went to Zorah, to his father's house. And then he decides to visit his wife in Timnah at the time of wheat harvest and bring a goat with him. Harvest time was often a time of celebration, and the goat perhaps could have provided food for several people. Interestingly, one writer calls the young goat an ancient counterpart of the box of chocolates we might take to a loved one today. I'd rather have the chocolate. As we look at this slide, his father-in-law informs Samson that because he thought Samson hated his wife, he's given the woman to his companion. To try to placate Samson, his father-in-law says, "Here's the more beautiful sister. Take her instead." That didn't go over too well, did it? Samson seriously disagrees with this proposal. It's not going to be an even swap. He wanted his wife, not some other woman. Apparently, he saw value in the woman regardless of the fact that she betrayed him. So, Samson says, "This time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm." As you look at what he did, it's kind of interesting. Somehow, he catches 300 foxes. Now, a couple of the commentators suggest that the word translated foxes here could be jackals. But I like the idea of foxes because I can't imagine tying those tails together. And he ties the tails together, though, puts a torch between the tails and turns them loose in the Philistine wheat fields. The result is damage in verse 5 to the wheat fields, to the wheat that's already been stacked up as having been gathered, I guess being ready to be run through the mill where it separates the seeds or the wheat from the chaff. And it also catches the groves and the vineyards. It burns them. This was a huge fire. Not a lighthearted moment. And as you think about that, the Philistines didn't take this very, very well, did they? It says there, "So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire after they figured out that Samson was the one who did this." Now then, what had they said they would do back in the 14th chapter, verse 15? They had already threatened the woman with fire once, saying there, "We will burn you and your father's house with fire if you don't entice your husband so that he will tell us the riddle." Now they actually follow through on it, and they burn her and her father with fire. Not a very pleasant situation to consider. Samson said to them, "Since you act like this, I will surely take revenge on you, but after that I will quit." He struck them ruthlessly with great slaughter, and he went down and lived in the cleft of the rock of Edom. Once more, Samson feels violence is the answer. In verses 7 and 8, Samson ruthlessly slaughters many Philistines. And while we're told in a couple of places that some numbers, this time we're just told that it covered quite a few. And then Samson went to Edom and lived in the cleft of a rock at Edom. So Edom, as you look at a map, is southeast of Timnah. And I think that's where his wife was from, wasn't it? You know, her father-in-law was called the Timnite. And it's north of Hebron, a place we've seen in our studies. And then we're going to see in the next verse, Lehi is mentioned, and it's up there between Zorah and Timnah. So he's covered a little bit of distance and wants some privacy for the moment. Any comments over these first verses? Can you imagine how enthusiastic those foxes were about having their tails tied together? I don't think that would have been something very pleasant. Anyone else? All right, then let's read verses 9 through 13. Then the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and spread out in Lehi. The men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" And they said, "We have come up to bind Samson in order to do to him as he did to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is this that you have done to us?" And he said to them, "As they did to me, so I've done to them." They said to him, "We have come down to bind you so that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines." And Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me." So they said, "No, but we will bind you fast and give you into their hands. Yet surely we will not kill you." Then they bound him with 2 new ropes and brought him up from the rock. So, as we start to look at these verses, we see that the Philistines are very angry. So they're threatening a major action in order to capture Samson. The men of Judah find out that the Philistines have come to Judah to capture Samson. And in verse 11, they're scared. They don't want this to happen. So 3,000 men, that shows a lot of respect for Samson's strength, I think. 3,000 men of Judah go to Samson, and instead of supporting him against the Philistines, their rulers, they question his actions against the Philistine rulers. Samson, remember, was motivated by personal revenge, says he treated the Philistines as they had treated him, which, of course, I think refers back toward his wife. And this is, in my eyes, basically an eye for an eye type approach. So what we see happening here is that in verses 12 and 13, the men of Judah are intent on handing Samson over to the Philistines, and Samson's going to allow it. He's going to say, "Okay, you can bind me with 2 new ropes, but you can't kill me." And then he was taken to the Philistines. Any comments through 13? In 14, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. So he reached out and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have killed 1,000 men." In this map, you again see the location of Timnah and Zorah, and now you see where Lehi is marked. And we see in these verses that for the third time, the Spirit of the Lord is coming upon Samson. The first two occasions were in Judges 14, 16, and 19. Now as we look at verse 14, with the Spirit of the Lord upon him, he found a weapon. Samson found a fresh jawbone of a donkey and used it to kill 1,000 Philistine men. Notice that in verse 16, he speaks of what he did. Catch the difference? He doesn't speak of what the Lord helped him do or what the Lord did. He speaks of what he did. Let's see what slide I'm on. Any comments through this point? A great, great financial loss for the Philistines, and they certainly weren't happy, were they? So, when he had finished speaking, he threw the jawbone from his hand, and he named that place Ramoth-Lehi. Then he became very thirsty, and he called to the Lord and said, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" But God split the hollow place that is in Lehi so that water came out of it. When he drank, his strength returned and he revived. Therefore, he named it En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day. So he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. As you look at this passage. First, he gives a name to the place where he killed the Philistines. And that name is thought to mean high place of the jawbone. And then next, we see that Samson is thirsty. And he calls upon the Lord for help. You know, He's tired and thirsty after killing 1,000 Philistines. After that, we see that God provides water for him. You remember in an earlier passage, God was looking for a way to deal with the Philistines, and Samson has been dealing with some of them. Now God provides water for him. He names the site Spring of the Caller. And the chapter closes by saying that he judged Israel 20 years. Cindy, do you have your hand up? Okay. Any comments through this chapter? Great point. Absolutely. I think that's right. He has, as we've studied Samson, we've seen him very focused on himself. He wants to satisfy his wants, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. I think we should take this as a pretty serious warning ourselves, a lesson to each of us to avoid those desires and stay focused on serving God alone. Happily for Samson, God did ultimately recognize his faith, as I mentioned earlier, there in Hebrews 11. As we go into the 16th chapter, to set the stage, the 16th chapter has some events in more of the southern part of Israel. On the map, you see that Dan is to the north. The land of the Philistines is to the left on the coast. The location of Gaza, mentioned in verses 1 and 21, is in the territory of the Philistines. And we've also already seen the location of Zorah mentioned in the previous chapter. Timnah's been mentioned in the previous chapter. And Hebron is going to be mentioned here shortly. While we're on this slide, the distance from Zorah, his home of his parents, to Gaza is about 45 miles. And the distance from Gaza over toward Hebron is about 30 miles. We're also going to see in this study, in verse 4, that near Timnah is the valley of Sorek. It's just to the north of Timnah. And it's in the hill country of Judah. So, one other point I guess I'd like to make is that as we look at the area, Gaza was not just some little place at that time. It was on one of the main routes, modern trade route, or ancient trade route for that day, that linked, as you can see toward the left, Memphis is right in the area of where Cairo is today. So that road goes along the coast. Gaza was on the trade route, and the trade route went on to the north that allowed trade with the countries to the north. Now then, in 16 verses 1 to 3. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When it was told to the Gazites, saying, "Samson has come here," they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. And they kept silent all night, saying, "Let us wait until the morning light, then we will kill him." Now Samson lay until midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the city gate and the two posts and pulled them up along with the bars. Then he put them on his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the mountain which is opposite Hebron. Once again, we see Samson's weakness for women. You'll recall he found a daughter of the Philistines to be his wife. Now he goes to a harlot in the Philistine seacoast city of Gaza. While the Philistine men thought they could capture him during the night or by morning, somehow Samson learns that there's an ambush being prepared for him. We're not told how. And he took the city gates, two post bars, and he carries them, what was it, about 30-some miles uphill toward Hebron, across from Hebron on a hill, roughly. Now, that speaks of great endurance and great strength by doing this. So in verse 4, after this, it came about that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and see where his great strength lies, and how we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. Then we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you." Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh cords that have not been dried, then I will become weak and be like any other man." Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh cords that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in wait in an inner room, and she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he snapped the cords as a string of tow snaps when it touches fire. So his strength was not discovered. As you look at this, the next step in Samson's downfall is another Philistine woman. We've seen the one Philistine woman he married. We've seen the one in the previous verses that we just studied that caused a problem. And now we're seeing this one, Delilah, who lived north of the Timnah Valley in the Valley of Sorek, which separated Judah and Dan from Philistia. The Philistine leaders came to Delilah and offer her 1,100 pieces of silver. Now, we're not told how many Philistine leaders are involved in this. However, in 1 Samuel, the 6th chapter, verse 17, 5 major cities of the Philistines are mentioned: Ashdod and Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. The point is simple. Whatever the number of cities represented when it speaks of the lords of the Philistines, at 1,100 pieces of silver, Delilah was well paid for her treachery. Interestingly, we're going to see Delilah asked 3 separate times for the secret to Samson's strength, and he's going to lie to her 3 different times. The first time is in verse 6, where she asks, "Please tell me where your great strength is and how you may be bound to afflict you." And Samson responds in verse 7 by saying, "Take 7 fresh cords that have not been dried, and that'll work." So she bound him, and he snapped the cords. That's the first lie that he's told her. Then Delilah said in verse 10, "Behold, you've deceived me and told me lies. Now please tell me how you may be bound." He said to her, "If they bind me tightly with new ropes which have not been used, then I will become weak and be like any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." For the men were lying in wait in the inner room, but he snapped the ropes from his arms like a thread. Well, Delilah asked again how his strength can be controlled, and obviously, she's trying to use some feminine charms to encourage him to answer. Samson lies to her again. This time he says, "New ropes will do it." But we see in verse 12, he snapped the ropes from his arms like a thread. Then Delilah said in verse 13 to Samson, "Up to now, you have deceived me and told me lies. Tell me how you may be bound." And he said to her, "If you weave the 7 locks of my hair with the web and fasten it with a pin, then I will become weak and be like any other man." So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his hair and wove them into the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the pin of the loom and the web. Now we see the third request from Delilah and the third lie by Samson, who, while enchanted by her charms, He doesn't fully trust her, does he? She asks again how he can be subdued. He responds by saying, well, weave 7 locks of hair, fasten it with a pin, and that'll do the job. When she shouts out that the Philistine says, whichever, the Philistines are here, she learns that once again, Samson is not effectively subdued. Not going her way, is it? So in verse 15, then she said to them, how can you say I love you when your heart's not with me? You have deceived me these 3 times and have told me where your great strength is. It came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart, and he said to her, a razor has never come to on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. Do you remember the 14th chapter, verse 16? Samson's wife wept before him and said, you only hate me and you do not love me. Now we're in the 16th chapter, and another woman is saying to Samson, you don't love me, do you? She plays the love card and nags him daily to tell her how to control his great strength. The verse says she pressed him daily. The New King James Version says she pestered him daily. As you look at the end of verse 16, you can clearly see that Samson is annoyed and tired of hearing her request. And so now he answers. He speaks of his hair, which under the Nazarite vow should not be cut. So far, have we seen him violate the Nazarite vow at all during the lifetime that we've studied about Samson to this point? Yeah, more than once. There's the fruit of the vine. There's the touching of the dead. We've seen his hair, not seen his hair cut yet, but that's coming. Any comments through 17? Verse 18, when Delilah saw that he had told her all that was in his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up once more, for he's told me all that is in his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his hair. Then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. She said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains, and he was a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Delilah perceives that Samson has answered truthfully at last. He's lied 3 times. Now he's answering truthfully. She sends a message to the Philistine leaders and says, come pay me and collect Samson. You'll recall she's getting a considerable sum of money. It says the Lord's promised her, 1,100 pieces of silver. And we don't know how many have made that promise. But 1,100 pieces of silver in that day would have made her a very fortunate individual. So as verse 18 ends, they bring the money, and then what we see is while she has him asleep on her knees. Now many of us know what it's like to drowse off, don't we? And be hard to awaken after we've gone to sleep. And while it may be hard for me to imagine that they're able to shave his head while he's asleep, and him not realize it, that's what happened. So as we look here, she cries out for the to Samson that the Philistines are present. And Samson awakens and thinks he's going to defeat the Philistines as he has in the past, knowing how great his strength is. But that's not going to happen. The Philistines seize Samson. They gouge out his eyes. They take him to Gaza. Excuse me. They bind him with bronze chains. They put him to work doing the job of an oxen. The Philistines did make a mistake, though. Verse 22, however, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Any comments through verse 22? We've got 1 minute left in class. Let's stop here for tonight. We'll begin here on Sunday. I ask you to go on and read the 17th chapter and following, because while we've seen some morality issues and things look kind of tough so far in our study, beginning in chapter 17, we're going to see some idolatry and problems that are rather flagrant. So please read at least 17.